Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, January 31st, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Miss Jo Wills. Miss Jo has been teaching four-year-old Sunday school for over 54 years. This past weekend, Miss Jo shared at our women's ministry retreat her spiritual story. I interviewed her during one of our main sessions, and at the end of the podcast, we want to share that interview with you. But first, Miss Jo, read God's Word to us today.
Leviticus 26 is titled Reward for Obedience. Do not make idols or set up an image or a sacred stone for yourselves, and do not place a carved stone on your land to bow down before it. I am the Lord your God. Observe my Sabbaths and have reverence for my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commands, I will send you rain in its season, and the ground will yield its crops and the trees their fruit. Your threshing will continue until grape harvest, and the grape harvest will continue until planting, and you will eat all the food you want and live in safety in your land. I will grant peace in the land, and you'll lie down, and no one will make you afraid. I will remove wild beasts from the land, and the sword will not pass through your country. You will pursue your enemies, and they will fail by the sword before you. Five of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000, and your enemies will fall by the sword before you. I will look on you with favor and make you fruitful and increase your numbers, and I will keep my covenants with you. You will still be eating last year's harvest when you will have to move it out to make room for the new. I will put my dwelling place among you, and I will not abhor you. I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt so that you would no longer be slaves to the Egyptians. I broke the bars of your yoke and established you to walk with heads held high. Matthew 8, Jesus healed a man with leprosy. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately, he was cleansed of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them." When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home, paralyzed, suffering terribly." Jesus said to him, "Shall I come and heal him?" The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, 'Go,' and he goes. And I say to that one, 'Come,' and he comes. And I say to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, "Truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take the places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown aside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, let it be done just as you believed it would." And his servant was healed at that moment. I think that's one of the great things that the centurion, who was not even of the Israelite faith, had such faith that he knew that all Jesus needed to do was to say a word. His faith was so great. Oh, Lord, let us have that kind of faith. Proverbs 31, verses 30 and 31. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her and all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gates.
Thank you for listening along as Miss Jo read God's Word to us. Now we will play the interview that she and I had at the women's retreat. I hope that you can understand it all. The recording is not that great, but there's so much depth there. Have a great day, and we'll look forward to reading God's Word together with you again tomorrow. Miss Jo, I wanted to know first how you got involved at Mount Brook Baptist.
It's really kind of a good story. We bought that house on Montevallo Road in 1970 when we moved here, but it wasn't ready for us to move in yet. So we were living in Montreat. Y'all know where that is, out 31. And so I told my husband, I said, I'm going to the Baptist church that's closest to my house because I go to church all the time and I'm tired of riding. In Augusta, we drove halfway across town to go to church, you know. And so I said, whichever one. So I said, I'm going to Mount Brook Baptist Church because it's the closest to my house. So we left Montreat, and the boys were, Steve was 5 and Ed was 8, I think, yeah. And so I left Montreat and brought them down because Bible school was going on at the church. So Hart was there, and I said, here, I want to stay because I might not be able to find my way back home. And so I said, give me something to do. And he gave me a room with 24 3-year-olds with no preparation at all. There I was. Okay. So Hart knew how to put people to work anyway. And so that's why I came to Mount Brook Baptist Church. We can be so proud of our church. I hope you all, always say a good word for it. It is a great place to worship.
And Miss Jo, tell us about what it's like now. You were working with 3-year-olds then, and now you've been working with 4-year-olds for 54 years. Tell us kind of what it's like. Set the scene for us on Sunday morning.
I started working with Hortense Barnes. Do any of y'all know Hortense Barnes? She was Dr. Nelson's secretary, and she taught 4-year-olds, and she said, come and work with me. And I immediately did, and I've been there ever since. I love 4-year-olds. I was talking to somebody about you, Donna, about 4-year-olds. I think they're wonderful people because it's in the mind and out of mouth. They have no filter. And so you know exactly where you stand all the time with the 4-year-olds. You know, if they don't like it, they tell you. And I just love that because, we have gotten where we're so polite each other, but a lot of times things are not going well and we say, oh, that's just fine, hey, that's awful, and a 4-year-old will tell you, that's terrible, we don't watch it. So I enjoy my 4-year-olds, and some of y'all in here were in my Sunday school class.
Raise your hand if you were in Miss Jo's Sunday school class.
Or maybe you had a child in my Sunday school class.
Yeah, a child.
I thank you so much for that sharing your children with me.
Oh my goodness, we thank you.
Because it has been such a blessing to me, and I tell people all the time, if I really remember as a, who you are, when you get to be an adult, either you were very good or very bad. And some go both ways,
We're all maturing, work in progress. All right, set the scene for us on Sunday morning. Who helps with the class? What do y'all eat? And then what do you sing?
Yeah, Hiram Hyde has been helping me for more than maybe 25 years, something like that, About more? How many?
Since Joseph was 4.
Yeah.
He's 40.
Okay.
He was in there with me 35 years ago.
Oh, really?
So okay. I remember him being... Yeah.
You're a helper. Yeah. So that and Meredith's mama, Irene Stutz, has been with me one Easter. It was kind of funny. She makes these little, what I call boogie bunnies, out of a washcloth and wraps them up, And so one Easter I said, Irene, come make some boogie bunnies with us. She's been there ever since. And how long has that been, Meredith? Maybe 40 years?
No, not that long.
Okay.
She got divorced.
Okay. For a while, anyway. Yeah. We kind of get set in our ways, and we cook pancakes. And somebody told me one day, they said, "When I feed my child a good breakfast, you don't have to feed him pancakes." I said, "It's not about the pancakes. It's just not about the pancakes. It's the process, you know, of come and join us, you know." And so consequently, we cook pancakes, and they may be green, they may be blue, they may be purple, depending on the mood I was in. You know? But we do take suggestions, and we get a lot of pink suggestions from the kids. You know?
And do you guys sing in your classroom?
Oh, yes. The first thing we do, after we get seated good, we count off how many boys are there, how many girls are there. And believe it or not, the one that has the least there wins to get the choice of whether you're going to sing Hallelujah or Praise You the Lord. Okay, and then we swap it back, so you always get to do both. But y'all know the song I'm talking about, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Praise You the Lord. Anyway, we sing that, we get up and down. It gives us kind of a place to start our lesson, you know. We start by praising God, and then we hopefully can listen for a while.
Now, you're a part of many different ministries at Mount Rook Baptist. You can read about them in the bio. Tell us about a few, and then also maybe just one favorite story from ministry.
I think when you get my age, I'm 87. So when you get 87 years old, you've been a lot. You've done a lot. You know, people ask you to do something, so you've done it. So when you get to be 87, yours will be equally as varied, I guess you'd say. But one of my, you know, I work with Corporate Baptist Fellowship down in Perry County. You know, we do two things down there on a regular basis, and we do some other things in between. But we go at Thanksgiving and take thanks enough partially other churches participate. So we take food so that we give out a Thanksgiving bag that has enough food in it for somebody to have a Thanksgiving meal. Last year we got 326 bags. I think we fed everybody in Perry County, y'all. But anyway, one of my favorite stories on Perry County, we decorate the bags. So it's the children. I give out the bags and they decorate them, you know, putting those hand, you know, where you do a hand turkey on it, you know, all right, happy Thanksgiving on it or something like that, you know, anything that they want to paste up. Amy has done me acorns and fall leaves and stuff like that to put on my bags. But this time, four-year-old Sunday school, yeah, you gotta remember this, they were decorating away on bags, and I was telling them, now, when we go take these bags, going down to Perry County, we're gonna fill them with a good Thanksgiving meal, and then the churches are gonna come and get them and give them out to their people that need some help at Thanksgiving. And I said, and then I take a note that says, Jesus loves you, and I drop it in that bag. Well, here sits George Schofield, working away on decorating his bag, you know. And he looks up at me and he says, "You're sneaking up on him, aren't you?" And every time I go around that pond, that, you know, I come to Marion, and we turn that corner with the church bus, going down to Solon Seas of Hope, I think about, I'm just sneaking up on to let them know that Jesus loves them, you know. You know. It's my favorite thing, and I tell it all the time, Amy.
Miss Jo, what has been a catalyst in your life to make you want to live your life as a life of service?
Well, I think that, you know, well, we are commanded to serve. Jesus commands us to serve. But every time I think, well, maybe not this time, then I think about, think with me, let's build the story, okay? Here Jesus was, the last day he was before he was being crucified. He knew what was coming. I mean, he knew he was going to suffer and die. What did he do that night? John tells us he took off his outer clothes, he went and got a basin of water, and he started washing people's feet. What could be more service to his people? And that's what we need to do when we think about something that we can do. We need to be just like that. We need to just get right in there And as my preacher boy Nash always says, God does not call the equipped. He equips the called. So if you've got something that you say, well, I don't believe I can do that. Wait a minute, God will help you, and you can. You can do almost anything with God's help if you just lean on Him. We tend not to. We want to be very, very self-sufficient. You know, we want to say, I can do this myself. No, you can't. But if you lean enough, you'll be surprised what God will get out of you, really. And you can do lots of things for God. Yeah. And we are so lucky to have such opportunities. We all have opportunities in our church where we can serve. We need to be serving, serving, serving. Yeah. And that's why, and like Cook's on mission, you know, I had never done that before, but I decided that that was something I needed to try out anyway, you know, and I'm not too good at it.
But you are really good at helping people come along in service. Talk about that a little bit.
Take Lane. Lane travels with me with the cooking bowl.
Build for Christ.
Yeah. And Lane Nash, really, she's the organizer, you know. I used to say I didn't cook, I went to the grocery store. but you know, you need to call people in to help you out, you know, and you'd be surprised. People will come if you call them. And sometimes we need that urging from someone to say, I need you, come on, help me out, you know. And I'm sure if I called on one of y'all and told you I needed you to come and teach Sunday school with me, I know Lulu would come.
If you had to pick a favorite Bible verse of all time, what would it be, Miss Jo?
I hope all of my four-year-olds know that my favorite verse is, a friend loves at all times, Proverbs 17:17. The reason for that is I think it is so important for four-year-olds to realize we have a responsibility for friendship. Friendship is just not something that you say, oh, good, you be my friend. No, you have a responsibility to that friend. You know, we've seen friends love each other, friends help each other, friends share with each other. So we try to, in Sunday school, if the toys are on the floor and somebody, and I say, pick up those trucks, I say, who's a friend that's going to help? Be a friend. So I think that we need to reach out to each other, because I see that in all of y'all. Reaching out to each other, whether it's, you know, with Cooks on Mission, we like to share recipes, but it's more than that. It's sharing things that are working in your life or things that you need in your life. Share, because I think that sharing is just what we need to do with each other, you know.
Who is one person that has impacted your life and your faith?
I guess my grandmother did. You know, y'all have all heard me say the prayer my grandmother taught me when I was, but she was the kind of person who, as the missionaries came to our church in Washington, Georgia, they always stayed with her. So I remember as a little girl being so excited about somebody from China. Now, kids don't get that excited anymore because, you know, we see everything on TV and they, China's not like we thought it was the end of the world, you know, when you're talking about that, you know, we've kind of gotten jaded about missionaries and that kind of thing. We think it's just another thing, place to be, you know. But I can remember being so excited as she would tell me where that missionary was coming from, what they were doing there, and how long they were going to stay with her. It was just an exciting time. And so, you know, my sister always said she wanted to be a missionary. She wasn't. She just raised children, she, you know, we all are missionaries as we go through our life, because we are taking Christ with us, regardless of whether you want to or not. You are. I mean, can I say I'm from Mount Brook Baptist Church? He's right there on my shoulder, and waiting to see what I'm going to do, and people are watching, you know. Remember that you are the missionary going out from our church every day.
As you know, our theme is spiritual stories, and so that's one reason we wanted to hear some of your stories. So we're anchoring it in Psalm 28, where it talks about God being our shield, our salvation, our shepherd, our strength. I'm wondering if there's a time or a moment of real struggle where God showed himself as one of those things.
Some of y'all know that Reed was diagnosed with cancer, and for 6 weeks we proceeded through the process of his dying, you know, which is a very difficult thing to do, you know. And if it hadn't been for, I mean, I bet a lot of y'all bought me food, because I was kind of in a, if it makes any sense, I was not even probably functioning just badly anyway, as we were going through that process. And so church brought me food, but to lean on God and know that even though I knew he was dying, he was going to heaven. I was going to see him again one day. Think about that. Think about people that don't have that hope. What do they do? How can they possibly get through life? And life is hard. We have things that disappoint us. But y'all can rejoice with me. You know, I had a new great grand yesterday.
Oh,
Ben and Sammy, who is, that's my grandson, Ben, you know, he's a preacher there. He's Methodist, but I forgive him. they had a baby girl named O'Reilly Grace, and she weighed 5 pounds, 16 ounces, and was born at 6:29, I think, yesterday afternoon, yeah. And I think 5 pounds is a good baby anyway. But in times like that, when we're excited about Sammy having a baby, what if you couldn't say that prayer? What if you had no prayer to say? And you say, go, Sammy, as we all said, good luck. We love you, and God is with you. Regardless of what, you know, you just, in times of joy and in times of sorrow, you lean in, and you have that prayer life. And without prayer, what would we do? We would be so devastated and lost in our lives, you know. But, you know, you'd be surprised how many times you pray, and sometimes I find myself praying for a parking place, you know.
That's praying all times. Prayer and praising go together. In the psalm, we hear David cry out for mercy, and then we say, my song of praise is raised to you, Lord. And so I thought it might be kind of fun.
That's what we're going to do.
Okay.
I look around the room, and because this group over here has the fewest people in it, you win. You can be hallelujah or praise you, Lord. Which one you want to be?
Hallelujah.
Oh, you're going to be hallelujah.
You know what you have to do?
Excuse me, you know what you have to do? You have to stand up now. I have trouble getting up and down now. So I really don't stand up. I kind of go like this. So y'all can do whatever you want to do. All right. I wish I had some. Oh, pitch it for me. Don't pitch it too.
Hallelujah.
Okay. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. For this material evidence of thy love and bounty. May our bodies be strengthened by this food. May our hearts be strengthened by true friendship. And our souls be strengthened by the bread of life. May this be a sacrament of love to all those who have gathered about this table. Amen.
Amen.